Welcome to the 2020 Challenge Podcast, a weekly teaching series that goes hand in hand with the 2020 Bible Reading Challenge that's inviting people like yourself to read through the entire Bible chronologically this year. I'm your host, Dan King, and each week I'm joined by Mark Minfried, my friend and the primary teacher at the Oceanside School of the Bible. Mark helps us to grow in our Christian faith by reviewing and reflecting on the preceding week's daily readings and encouraging us with key themes, principles, and practical application for our lives. As always, we invite you to participate by texting in your questions each week on your readings. Now, whether you've been with us all year so far, or if you're just jumping into the week, we're glad you're here and we look forward to learning together. Well, welcome everyone tonight, stream. It is week 20 in the 2020 challenge, and we are really, really excited to have all of you with us. I am flying solo tonight. My name is Dan King. I am your host, as always, but I'm also tonight going to be teaching this special edition, this workshop. It has been an amazing 20 weeks so far this year where we've been reading through the entire Bible chronologically. And if you're just jumping in tonight, that is fine. Welcome here. It's great to see you. Let's shout it out in the live stream chat, please. Say you're here, say hello, say your name. Let us know you're around. And maybe if you're not from Vancouver Island, the Nanaimo area, the Parksville area, let us know where you are coming in from. It would be great to find out where you're watching and say hello. Some of you right now are listening to us on the audio podcast, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for us on there, just search 2020 Challenge and you'll find us. It's a great way to interact with you, to bring you in on all that's going on this year in the 2020 Challenge. I think that kind of covers who we are, what we're about, and what we're doing. But as good as it's been this year so far, we're actually going to push the pause button on looking back and reviewing this last week's readings this week, and instead spend some time doing a real practical workshop this week on what it means to journal. So the goal tonight is simply encouragement, practical help for you to grow in your faith through the spiritual discipline of journaling. Usually, Mark Minfried would be here, and he's taking this week off on this Monday, this long weekend, to spend some time with his wife, spend some time with his family. And I said I would love to jump in and talk a little bit about journaling, spiritual journaling. So tonight, if you have never done it before, grab some kind of a book, grab some kind of a pen, because we're going to be giving you a whole lot of notes on what it means for journaling. Hey, just a big shout out to those people who are around right now in the live chat. See if I can bring it up here. We've got Deborah's here, Julie's here, Chris is here, and at least 16 other people are kicking around as well. So hey, if you haven't had a chance, say hello in the live chat on YouTube right now. Maybe you're watching on your TV or your computer. Maybe just pull up a phone and look at YouTube and find the chat and just say hello. Let us know you're here. That's also a great place tonight to be able to just give us your questions as we go along. So let me pray tonight, and then we're going to jump into this really practical how-to workshop on the spiritual discipline of journaling. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the fact that you're interested in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have stepped into history in the person of Jesus Christ to change and radically transform our lives through your death, through your resurrection, and through your new life. And God, thank you that you call us to impact others in the same way that you've impacted us, bringing them to new life through telling your story and lifting you up, Jesus. God, tonight I pray that as we talk about journaling, you would encourage us in our faith, you would equip us to better follow you, and Lord, as we walk out of here, we would feel just a sense of your presence and, God, an impact through what you're doing in us and through us. In your name we pray, amen. Guys, thanks so much for being here. It's great to have you here. Big shout out to Dave and Peggy. Big shout out to Fiona, who are also joining us tonight. It's great to have you guys along. As I mentioned, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual journaling. And we want to look at the spiritual discipline of journaling, what it is, what the Bible tells us about, and where we see journaling in Scripture, and why it's got added significance for you and I as Christian believers. I also want to offer you guys some real practical tips. And in the last few days, I reached out and I asked some of you who journal to send me in your tips, your top tips for that. And so a little bit later today, we're going to share some of those in from texts you sent me. Somebody sent me a video with some great tips, and a couple of people sent even pictures and images of their journals. So that's absolutely phenomenal. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a great night. Your role, as always tonight, is to contribute with your comments. So I'm going to be watching the live stream chat here. Looks like we've also got Carrie and Nelda Stevens with us, and that's fantastic. You guys are here from I'm going to mess it up. Wetaskiwin, Alberta. And so thanks so much for being here. We love you guys too. We're going to talk a little bit about tonight journaling. So let me read you what I wrote here. I'm not sure if you're somebody who journals or not, but maybe you've never thought of journaling as a spiritual discipline. I'm much too occupied, maybe you're thinking, with today and tomorrow, to give a lot of time to reflecting back to yesterday. But what if there was another vision that I could give you for what journaling is? What if journaling wasn't simply about recording the past and what has happened to you? But what if it was preparing for the future and what God wants to do in you? What if journaling was about deepening your joy in the present? I want to suggest to you that that is what spiritual journaling is, the spiritual discipline of journaling. I've been somebody who has journaled for years and years and years. Let me see if I can find a picture for you of my journals. Here is a few journals that I've had over the years. I think at last count, I've got 18 of them. I try desperately to do one a year, to fill up one of those journals every single year. But if truth be told, I'm not very good at it. I don't think ever in the last probably 20, 25 years that I've been journaling, ever filled one complete in a year. But that's my goal. And so I'm coming to you today as somebody who's got lofty goals for spiritual journaling, somebody who has tried it regularly, have a regular rhythm of that in my life in the past, but somebody who's also failed at it. So I probably can relate to you. I hope you can relate to me in that. And if you've never tried journaling before, well, that's a great opportunity tonight for you to just start jumping in. I think for me, journaling and even the latest journal I've got going on right now that started almost a year ago, I think June last year is when I started this one, when my last one filled up. It's been a highlight to look back at this journal for the last year and other journals as well over what God's been doing and spoken into my life and how he's molded and formed me as I've read and reflected and prayed and journaled over these years. Can you just comment in the chat if you're somebody who has also journaled? Has it been something that has gone well for you? Has it been something that's gone poorly for you? Are you somebody who has started and stopped and started and stopped? Would you just leave a comment? Let me know your experience in journaling. And if you're watching this after the live feed is done, the live stream is done, just in the comments of this video, leave me a note and let me know whether you're somebody who has journaled before. I stopped at one point journaling a few years ago, I've got to admit. And I'm not sure why, as I thought about it today and kind of reflected back, but I did pick it up again after the last few years, and I'm working on getting into a better rhythm that I'm happy with again. And I've been reminded in doing that, that it is an incredible discipline. There is a great quote that I came across just prepping for this, and it's one I've read in the past and seen, and I thought it was just a great quote that I wanted to share with you, kind of around the idea of spiritual disciplines. And it says this, it says, the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deeper people. It's Richard Foster who's wrote that. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intellectual people or gifted people, but for deep, deep people. And I want to suggest to you today, maybe my thesis, if it will, today, is that journaling takes us deeper. It takes us to that deeper place. I want to encourage you today that journaling does at least two things in us as it takes us deeper. We journal because it's something that's been modeled for us over the years. I think this is what I want to show you here, the significance. And you have to forgive me, I'm both producing this tonight, doing the technical stuff, and I'm teaching tonight. So it's a little bit of a change for me. Usually Mark's teaching and I'm behind the board pushing all the buttons when he's up, but we'll get through it together. And by the way, I'm just noticing that Chris has just been saying here in the live chat that he's somebody who has been journaling since he's 12 years old. Julie talks about doing both. She's journaled, she's stopped, she's journaling again. And so really encouraged to see you guys sharing about your experiences on there. Let me jump back to where I was. Now, the significance of journaling for the Christian, for you and I today. First of all, journaling is something that is modeled for us in Scripture. It's actually an interesting time that we've got right now that we are talking about journaling as we move into the Psalms, because God placed portions of journals written by His people all over Scripture throughout the Bible, including David as he wrote the Psalms. He's recorded his praises. He's recorded his confessions. He's mourned at points. He's shared from a downcast soul at times. And this is all the kind of stuff that we do when we're journaling. The Psalms are really at his outlet, his journal, if you will. The Ecclesiastes, which is some of the wisdom literature that we're going to be moving into shortly. The teacher of Ecclesiastics recorded his memoirs expounding his intellectual journey, searching for the meaning of life. And if that kind of searching isn't something that's reflected in you and I as we journal, I don't know what is. The Gospels contain firsthand journal accounts of Jesus and his travels and his private and his public conversations. It's the authors of that inspired by the Lord as they journal and write down their stories. Jeremiah wrote his lamentations, his heart's deepest cries down for his people and the situation he was in the midst of his journals, in the midst of the Scripture that we read. And so Scripture models for us journaling. So if you're looking for a reason for it, that's a good reason to start. The second thing is that Scripture matures us. And again, I come back to that quote that Richard Foster gave about needing to go deeper. Spiritual disciplines are habits. They're practices, experiences that are designed to develop and grow and strengthen certain qualities in our spiritual life. Some, like journaling, some of these spiritual disciplines like journaling are incredibly personal and inward exercises that are practiced in solitude and alone. And other spiritual disciplines are practiced in community. But all of them mature us. And so these activities like journaling are allowing us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us so we become deeper people. So this is a picture of where journaling occurs in the Bible. This is a picture of how journaling equips us and encourages us. And just as I continue to kind of go through some of the introduction, as it were, before I give you some really practical tips, because I want to give you four real great hacks to what it means to start your own, how you can start your own journal and do it really well tonight. What journal will do for us? I think I had this up just a minute ago. The first thing that journaling does for us is it's going to improve our focus, our memory, our ability to analyze what we're reading in the Scriptures. This is what journaling does for us. It causes us to slow down in our day, just to kind of stop, to grab our journal and start engaging with it. It causes us to reflect on and interact with what we're reading in Scripture on a much deeper level. It does the same for our prayer time. It does the same for a Scripture memorization we're doing. It allows us to interact with that in a way that we wouldn't if we were go, go, go. So it's focus, it's helping our memory, it's helping our ability to analyze what we're doing and what's going on. Here's the second thing that it does for us. The second thing it does for us is that it helps us to connect our faith and our life together. It helps us to connect our faith and our life together. Let me break this one down for you a little bit. Journaling acts like a bridge. Imagine this, if you will. Maybe you can think of another example. Just throw it in the chat if you can think of another example. But I like to think of it as a bridge. It's helping us move from one side to the other side, to our interaction with Scripture and our reading of Scripture, to actually applying it to every day. Maybe another example might be connecting the dots. Journaling helps us to connect the dots as we interact with maybe sermon notes we've taken that contain our Scripture reading and our prayer time, and connect that dot to the application of real life. Sometimes when we just sit down, and I think for those of us in the 2020 challenge this year, you may be guilty of this. I know that I am. You sit down, you pull out your Scripture reading for the day, you fire through it, you close the Bible, you put it down, and you move on. Or sometimes I put on my audio Bible while I'm driving to work, when I was driving to work and will be driving to work when isolation is done and I quit working remotely from home here and get back to the office. And I just hit play and I just listen to the Scriptures in the car for our 2020 reading for the day, which is fantastic. However, the challenge with that is that I can read it and close the Bible, listen and turn off my mind after it's done. And I don't take the time to reflect and connect the dots to bridge from what I'm reading to real life and application. And that's what happens as we do this. I want to add this to what I'm saying. It's that this process of bridging goes from listening or reading, comprehending, to writing it down in our journaling, to reflecting on what we've written down, and then connecting it to real life. So if you're taking notes right now, you got your journal out, you got a notebook out, write this down, is that it helps us connect our faith to our life through listening, through writing what we've heard or read, through then reflecting on that, and then connecting what that reflection has been with our real life. This is making faith real. This is maturing us in our faith. So that's the second thing that I think is significant about journaling for the Christian. Here's the third one, is that it focuses us on our prayer time. And I'd argue that it also informs us for our prayer time. Journaling with our prayer time, it allows us to track themes, to record answers, to allow some prayers and thoughts that we've been developing to go onto the shelf and sit for a little while, but not be forgotten about, because we can then reread them, take them off, and when it's time to engage with them, it's still there. It hasn't been a memory that's faded. One of the things I love about grabbing my journal and looking back on it, and even if it's something that, let me jump off screen for a second here. I didn't plan to do this, but let me grab one of my several journals that's behind here. All right. Here we go. Okay. The year 2005, this one comes from. I don't know if you can see that. Can I capture that on the... it'll take a second. It'll focus on that maybe. 2005. There we go. I can turn back. I love... One of the things I love about journaling is that I can grab my journal, I can go back to November the 11th, 2005, and see here that I was reading from Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 6. And I spent some time reflecting on what was there and highlighting some verses that stuck out to me. And I wrote that God's been speaking into my soul these days, mostly around a particular individual. I've been really emotionally, mentally drained these last days. So there's some confession in this journaling. And I've been frustrated in how things have been relating in our relationship together with this person. And then I start writing down prayers for this person, for myself. I talk about, Lord, grant me the wisdom to do. And then I outline a few things here. Start with me, Father. And all these prayers are coming out. So I know that back 15 years ago, God was speaking to me about having better relationships with people and caring for relationships with people in a particular way with a particular person. That is such an encouragement for me to go back now and look at. And you see how journaling it, writing out the scripture, and then interacting with it and reflecting on it started to focus my prayer time to bring out some very specific application for my life. So we're seeing all these come together now. It focused me, number one. Let me throw this back on. Number two, it connected what God was speaking in the day to my life, and then it informed and focused my prayer time. So guys, that's what the significance of journaling is for the Christian. So whether you've somebody who's journaled in the past or haven't yet, I'm hoping this is motivating you to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe there's something to this spiritual journaling idea. Okay, so that was my hope to try to convince you. Now I want to get really practical with you. And I'm going to do that in three different ways. First, I'm going to give you just a quick highlight of what you need to journal. And I think this is a no-brainer. It's simply this, a pen and a book, a three-ring binder. I go for the little more expensive hardcover ones, something with lines in it that you can write, maybe some tape and maybe some highlighters if you want to get really creative and colorful. But other than that, that's all you need. That's the good news. This is not something that's going to cost you a lot. That's all you need. So let's get practical. What do you need? A Bible, a notebook, and a pen. That's it. Here's the second bit. What do I journal about? What do I journal about when I start journaling? Again, if you're taking notes, just write some of these down. Journal about sermon notes. When you come to church, when you attend church online, when Mike's speaking or whoever your pastor is who's speaking, grab your pen, grab your notebook, and make notes of the stuff that sticks out, the key points, the scripture references, so you can come back and interact with those later. Insights that you get as you're listening to the sermon. Write down a journal about prayer requests that you have, specific prayers that you've got for people. Interact with daily readings of scripture. Journal about that, like I did in the example I just gave you. Write down and journal about application steps, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, how you get to all these things in a few minutes. Journal about questions you have, curiosities you have about what God's up to. One of the things I do a lot in my journal is I ask God a lot of questions. I ask God, God, what are you doing about this? Where are you in that? Sometimes I ask the why questions, but more often I'm moved to curiosity of what are you up to, God, in this? And then I take some time to reflect, some time to journal, some time to pray. That's the process of journaling. What are some other ideas in the live chat right now? Maybe write down a few ideas that you have in the live chat right now about what you're liking. I appreciate the comment Julie made about this is helpful, it's inspiring, that Chris made, that Paul made. Thanks so much for the hearts from Dave and Peggy and Deborah. I appreciate that. What are some other things that you journal about? Just make some notes in the live chat. Let's light it up in there and take a look. Okay, now examples. I mentioned to you off the top that some people have taken the time out of their week to send me in some tips and some videos that help us to understand how we might journal better. And so let me just quickly take a look here and see what I got here. Let's look at a couple of pages out of mine first. Yep, that's what we're going first. So this is a recent journal entry that I have, and I'm showing you this because I want to equip you and give you an idea of what we're doing. This was just a few weeks ago when we were reading through the Psalms. Actually, this last week, I guess, as we were in Psalm... No, it was a few weeks ago that we were at Psalm 23. We were looking at the life of David, and we looked at some of his Psalms as we were reading his story. And then the last few days, I've done other ones. So whenever it was, this is when I was reading Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, you can see here that I'm writing it out and I'm interacting with all the material. There's circles and arrows and thoughts going on. But you can also see that I found somebody write something online probably, or in a book I was looking at and reading, about David. And what I've done is I've typed it out and then I've printed it off and I've just glued it right into the book as it pertains to what I'm reading. And so I want to have it there to interact with down the road. And so that's just a quick picture of one of my journals, entries from a few days ago, and how you're interacting with your daily scripture reading, your writing application, and you're finding outside sources and you're finding some tape and some glue or something and sticking those into your journal to interact with as well. So that's the first example that I want to show you. I've got one more from an older journal that I pulled out and opened up and looked at. And again, you can see that I've been writing some stuff down here. And then I've got several clips and snippets of material that I've either found online or have found in books and photocopied and just stuck right in there to interact with. And so those are some real practical examples of how you can add some glue and a photocopier and a printer to your arsenal of journaling stuff. We're getting deeper into this. Let's get to somebody else here. Let's look right now at Anna's pages. Anna sent me some pictures of some of her journal, right out of her journal. And you can see that she's a very artsy person, a creative person. And this is something that often comes out in our journaling, the creativity. She's, again, just key words has been highlighted there. And she's follow, peace, and some insights and some bullets and some color on there on the top left with highlighter and some color paper. So it's something, again, she's putting time into, she's spending time on, she's reflecting, she's interacting to as she relates to the scriptures. All right, where are we here? Let's go back one more, I think. And this one is something that I want to share from my buddy Brian. Brian sent in a video clip. Where is Brian's video clip? Here it is. All right, let's see if we can see if this one comes up.
Hi there, this is Brian Hartland speaking. And I have two tips for you for journal writing. So tip number one, have it by your bedside or take it with you in your backpack or your car and write on your break or before bedtime. And tip number two, write down any words you get from God and have a relationship with God every day through journal writing. Those are my two tips for journal writing.
Okay, so some real practical tips from Brian there. Keep your journal near your bedside. Actually, a couple of people said that they often wake up at night and have significant things to write down. Take it to work and use it on your break and just be writing in it, writing in it, writing in it. Anna, that was actually another idea that she had is keep writing, write all the time. A couple of great texts or comments in the live chat that are coming in. Where's our live chat? There it is. And Chris says, you know, start writing feelings or frustrations down and go into prayer. And he expresses his frustrations to God and questions through that. Angela, type and tape instead of writing it all out. That's great. So there's some really good, thank you guys, and keep them coming. There's some great tips there. Appreciate it. If you like these, hit some thumbs up. Now, here's what I want to, Glenn. Glenn has some sent in some tips as well. And she said, leave the front few pages of your journal empty for the really important stuff as the months go by. And she also, so that idea is like, if you leave the first couple of pages open, and you find a really great quote or a significant scripture, you can just write those in as you go and they help focus you for your year. Sometimes I do that as well, Glenn. Great idea. She also says, write names that come to you during your quiet times at the top of your journal. And so that's great as well. Thanks for those. Then thanks everybody for giving some great insights and some great tips as I ask you for those. That was awesome. Okay, now here's what I hope to be the really, really hard kind of grind down practical stuff tonight. If you liked it so far, leave a hey in the live chat or in the comments if you're watching this after. But here's what I want to give you as some really, really good practical stuff. And the idea is this, is that after you read the scripture, then I want you to read. So after you read, I want you to read. So there's four bullet points coming at you. R-E-A-D. After you read, I'm going to have you read. And this is the process that I use as I walk through the scriptures. And again, I've hinted a lot of these already, but I want to kind of pull them down now into some real practical tips for you as we look at the spiritual developing the spiritual discipline of spiritual journaling that grows us, matures us, and deepens us in our faith in Christ. So here's the first one. The first one is R for read. And it starts this, review what you've just read. And by the way, as we go through these, I'm also going to be giving you who, what, where, when, why, and how to apply. Those words are going to apply to each of these. It's going to kind of take you through it. So R is review what you have just read. You read your scriptures, and then you review what you've read. And this one is the what. So what stood out to you? Maybe there's a key word, a key phrase, a theme that's developed and coming out of the scriptures you're reading that prompts you. So you're just going to journal that. So let's say that you're looking at one of the Psalms that we're reading right now. Maybe it was Psalm 23, like the example that I gave you earlier. And what, as you look and reflect on what you've just read, what pops out? Is there a word? Is there a phrase? Is there a key idea? Is there a theme that prompts you? And write down what stood out. Okay? So R, review, and then circle what stands out. So that's the first step. The second step is to move then to E. So you found what stood out, and then you're going to spend some time, E, examining what has stood out. And the who, what, when, where, why is why. Why is it a key? So you've reviewed it now, found what stood out. Now you're going to spend some time examining exactly what stood out and why it's a key. And then you're just going to write that down. Write down why you think it's standing out. Interact with it. Draw it out. Find maybe an inspirational thought to put down that kind of captures it. Maybe you're going to examine it through prayer. So I'm going to give you one, two, three, four things. You're going to write down stuff about as you examine it. You're going to pray it out. Lord, what are you saying to me through this? Why is it a key, God? You're going to spend time inviting the Holy Spirit to counsel you, maybe through other scriptures on this. And so, again, examine it. Spend time chewing on it. If it was a piece of meat or if you're a vegetarian, a big old vegetable or something, put it in and you chew it and you chew it and you chew it and you chew it. Like your mom said, you got to chew everything like 20 times before you swallow it. You got to chew on this and examine it from every angle. Think about it. One of the things I love to do when I'm reading narrative, so not necessarily the Psalms, but maybe some of the historical books that we've been reading or the gospel books or the letters that we'll be reading to the churches in a few months, is I spend time putting myself in the story and trying to engage my senses. What might I smell? What might I hear? What might I see? And what might I feel? And interacting with the senses there. And sometimes it gives you incredible insights that you've never had before. Let me give you an example of this. In Luke, it talks about Jesus calling the disciples. And at one point, Jesus, in a famous story, Jesus asks one of the disciples to take him out and go fishing after he's finished a bit of a sermon. He pushes out and goes fishing. And he says, you know, it's daytime and I'm a carpenter and I don't know anything about fishing, but why don't you throw your nets out here? And so the disciples kind of humor him and say, Master, because you've asked us to, we will. And they threw it out and they had a massive catch. And it filled their boats. And he had to call some friends out and they filled their boats. So I spent some time saying, okay, I'm going to be in that boat and I'm just going to engage my senses. What's the smell of the fish? What do I hear when this is happening? What do I see when this was happening? And at one point, the scripture says that the disciples got down on their knees and bowed down before Jesus in the boat because they realized that he was Lord. And this process of examining that, engaging my senses, I realized, wait a minute. If they got down on their faces and their knees before Jesus, they're literally surrounded now by fish, and their heads are maybe right down by the fish. They're covered in fish as they kneel down. I would never have got that insight had I not examined that scripture and kind of chewed on that scripture and engaged my senses in the narrative of that to learn and journal about that. So it can give you insights that you may not have had. You review it and ask God, what is standing out for me? And you examine it and say, why is that a key? And then you interact with it. So that's your R, that's your E. Let me give you the A, R-E-A. Here it comes. action steps that need to be taken in a response to what's coming out of the examination. So you said, God, what stands out for me? Why is it a key? And now we're moving into A for our, what are the action steps that I need to take in this? This is where we're back to the bridge. This is where we're back to the connect the dots part of journaling, right? Follow me? We're good? If you're with me, say so in the live chat. Say, I'm with you. I'm good. I'm with you. I like it. Let me know that you're still on here with me. Okay. Here we go. A, action steps. So there's three parts to this. We've already done the what, we've already done the why. Number one is where. Where in my life does this connect? Is it in my head? Is it in my heart? Is it in my relationships, in my job, in my public life, in my private life, in my relationships, my family, in my marriage, in my roommates, with my philosophy of life and my faith? Where does it connect? Second thing is how. How then do I respond? And then the third is who. Who's involved in my response? Is it just me? Or is it other people? And it can be both. I love 1 John 1:9. It says that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's just me and God interacting. But you know as well as I do that sometimes we need to bring other people into it to help us, to encourage us, to maybe help break the sin cycle for accountability, perhaps. And that's captured in James 5:16, where it says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one for another. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. I memorized it way back in the day in King James. But the idea is sometimes we need to bring other people in. And so, where do I see this in my life? How should I respond? And who needs to be involved in my action steps with me? So it's figuring out what an appropriate response is, what action step or steps I have to take based on what I found and what stuck out to me in review and why it did in my examination and what I learned about it. So that's R-E-A. And here we are coming in for a landing. It's the next one. And this is D. Are you with me still? Is this good? Here's D. Do the steps when it's appropriate. So we take our, we review it, we examine it, we figure out what the action step is, and then we take that action step when it's appropriate to do so. Most of the time, it's going to be now. Sometimes, though, an immediate response is not the best. It needs to wait till later. Somebody one time said that sometimes is somebody once said that the wisdom is not always in the revelation of what to do, but it's in the timing, the when. So when should you respond? Immediately or eventually? And maybe you need to bring somebody else into it to help you with that action step for the accountability. So you'll do what needs to be done, with whom it needs to happen, whether it's just with you and God or whether it's with you and others. So read. Once we read our scripture, then we're going to read it again in our journal. Guys, I hope this has been something that has been really helpful for you as we've walked through this tonight. Mark and I are hoping in kind of hitting the pause button this week on our studying, looking back on week 20's readings, was that we could really set you guys up moving ahead to have even deeper interaction with the scriptures. It's great to read, but we want to now call you to a place where more is happening. We want to call you to a place where you're interacting and maturing and deepening yourself and your faith in a way that you haven't had the opportunity to do yet. So guys, that's the workshop. I hope you've enjoyed it. It has been great to interact with you on the live chat. Thanks so much for that. Love your comments. Love your little notes that you've given. It's fantastic to interact and see all the interaction and the comments. That's great. Would you light this up again and let me know what your favorite bits have been in what we've learned today? What was your highlight in what has been covered today? And as you're doing that, I just want to let you know that next week we're going to be back at it. Mark's going to be back with us for week 21. That'll take us to just over 40% of the Bible now being read, which is super exciting. I can't believe that I've actually been reading Bible daily now for chronologically, specifically, for 40% of the year, and I'm 40% through the Bible chronologically. It's awesome. If you've seen somebody who's dropped off for a while, it's a great time to jump back in. The Psalms are great to read, and they're even better to journal with. So we invite you to do that. Thanks so much for being here. Let me pray for you and with you, and then I'll let you go. God, thank you so much for the fact that your word is alive and interactive with us, God. Thank you that it's not a dead book with historical writings that have no significance for today, but it's a book that you are constantly breathing life into, that you've inspired for us, Lord, for people to write, and that, God, it shapes us and sharpens us in all we do. God, thank you for allowing us this time to sharpen one another. And I pray, God, that as we begin to journal, you would begin to mature us and deepen us in ways that we could never have hoped for or imagine. God, thank you for what you're up to tonight. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your glory. And we give you the praise for what you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much. And thanks for the comments some of you have just left for what you've been learning tonight. If this has helped you, would you do me a favor? Would you do at least two things? Number one, if you haven't already subscribed, would you do that? Would you subscribe to the Oceanside channel and hit the little notifications bell? Because that'll let you know every time one of these Bible challenges, 2020 Bible Challenge live streams goes live. It'll just pop up on your phone and let you know, or it'll email you and say, hey, this is coming up right away. And then you'll know, and it'll be great. So do that if you haven't already. On this video, not in the live chat, but in the proper video, would you go and just leave a thumbs up for it as well? And then last but not least, would you consider sharing this? If it's been something that has really encouraged you and equipped you tonight, would you just copy the share link and send that maybe in a personal message or a text to somebody or post it somewhere on social media or interact with somebody and say, hey, you got to go check this out because it's going to help you to grow in your faith. Check out the entire series if you haven't yet, 2020. There's more to come. It's going to be great. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Appreciate you so much. And we'll see you back here next week.